the Lord is good. And I want to tell you this morning, we came here this morning, hallelujah, because we have tasted of the goodness of God. And we want more of Him and more of His presence. Amen. And you might be here, maybe you've never tasted His goodness, but maybe you're searching. Maybe you're looking. Maybe you're hungry this morning. Well, let me tell you, you've come to the right place today, because in Jesus, you're going to find everything that you need today. I can assure you that once you taste of His goodness, you're going to want more of His presence today. Oh, won't you just press in and let the Lord do a great work in your heart today. Let's worship Him together today. Father, we honor You today. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us today. It's Your goodness, Lord God, that leads us to repentance, God. Father, we pray that You would pour out Your Spirit, Lord, upon us today as we lift our song to You. Be glorified in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, we bless You, Lord. I'm trading my sorrow.
of the world, send his only begotten Son to save.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more.
Come all you sinners,
come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to
let's praise Him this morning. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus,
Lord, our Savior, Lord. Hallelujah.
That You so loved us, Jesus.
Running after me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, your mercies that are new every morning. We love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That wasn't hard to understand, was it? The Lord's telling his people, if you're on the brink of decision, it's time to decide. If you're wavering in who you're serving, it's time to get real. God is a good God. God is a faithful God. God is a loving God. Don't put him off any longer. Don't ignore him any longer. The world's lying to you. The things of this age are deception. Come to Jesus. Give him first place in your life. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. Lord, encourage us. Come to me today. Make that decision today. Leave that old life and those old friends and all those things that are endangered. Leave them today and come and receive the goodness of God. Receive the forgiveness of God. Receive the new beginning that God desires for your life. You don't have to wear all the scars. You can come to Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you that you're full of mercy and grace. We thank you for the loving warnings. The urges of the Spirit calling people to come and receive the goodness of God. Come and receive the mercies of God. Come and respond to loving kindness and the callings of God. I pray right now, Lord, within the sound of my voice, that men and women will make fresh dedications, fresh consecrations. And if they need to leave something, they will leave it. If they need to make a change, they will make a change. Father God, help your people to respond to what you have spoken to their hearts. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Can we give them a praise? Let's give them a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your mercies, you may be seated. God bless you. Well, good morning. I've learned a long time ago, you know, it's easier to learn from your mistakes than it is mine. It don't hurt nearly as much, amen? Isn't that right? It don't cost nearly as much either, I'll tell you that much. And when you look around, you see people that played the fool. We should learn from those things, amen? God bless them, but Lord, I don't want to go down that mess. I'm going to get right with God, amen? I'm going to get on the path of righteousness. I'm going to do what the Lord is calling me to do, amen? Learn from other mistakes and avoid them. Say, Lord, I'm not going to take that path. I'm going to make a different decision. I'm going to put God first. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Young people, you are dismissed. Teenagers. Children, you are dismissed. Amy's not up to the teenagers. You teenagers, stay put. There they go. There they go. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't God good? If you have your Bibles, if you would go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And Lord willing, we want to spend the next 2 weeks looking at this psalm and looking at two very important attributes of God. The all-knowingness of God and the ever-presence of God. You know, the Bible says that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. It's important to know the God that you love and the God that you serve and the God that you call Father. And so we're going to do our best in these next 2 weeks to look at a couple of attributes or characteristics of God. And hopefully they can encourage our faith and we can apply them to our lives. So if you would, Psalm 139, let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Who does God know? Oh, that's good. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in. Behind and before, you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. He said, man, this is blowing me away. That's the all-knowingness of God. And then we shift gears into the ever-present God. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. Amen? No matter where life takes you. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Can't hide from him. And he'll never lose track of you. Look at that verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Isn't that good? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. And all God's people said, our subject this morning is God's omniscience or God's all-knowingness. God's all-knowingness. God's omniscience refers to the perfect knowledge of God, perfect knowledge of things both actual and potential. God knows everything. If God is God, then certainly he knows everything, or else he'd be limited and that's not God. God knows everything. Now this should be a comfort. He knows and understands our pains, our problems, our passions. But on the other hand, this can be cause for concern. He knows my sins, my secrets, my thoughts, my truth. It's important to stress here that God's attributes have a different meaning depending on your relationship with him. Are you a friend or a foe? There's rest for the Christian, there's unrest for the rebel. Confidence to the Christian, agitation to the agnostic. If you're a son, though, if you're a daughter, great peace and great rest comes from knowing the God you serve and the one you call Father. For example, if my earthly dad was here this morning, for you, he might be a friend, he might be a brother, but to me, he's something very much different. Amen? I mean, it's the same person, but all relationship makes everything different, does it not? I can approach him in a way you wouldn't dare. I have access and privilege with him you can't imagine. And in the same way, he has a generosity towards me. He has a concern for me. He has a love for me he doesn't have for anybody else. It's amazing what it is when you have a relationship with the living God. Amen? When you can call him Father. And if you know him, you can call him Father this morning. Our time this morning, we'll be addressing the majority of this message to believers, trusting that we can expand our understanding and deepen our love, and increase our confidence in the God we serve. Talking about a God who knows everything, including us, including us. Psalm 139 is really a classic text in the Bible of the all-knowingness of God. It teaches you and I that God knows us intimately and exhaustively. He knows our actions, our locations, our motivations, our thoughts, our words. But even more than this, He knows what's best for us. And He does all that He can to guide us and keep us in that way. He hems us in, verse 5, He hems us in. He puts His hand upon us to steady us and to steer us and to direct our paths if we'll let Him. And as we think of such things, our response should be like that of David. Just step back with an awe and a wonder and just worship this great God that we love and that we get to serve. Why is this? Because let me say it again. God's omniscience, His all-knowingness, it's not like some impersonal computer out there somewhere, but it's a gracious Heavenly Father who's full of mercy and compassion and goodwill to those that belong to Him. You see, this is the beauty of this psalm. The psalmist does not consider the wonders of God as something abstract or scientific or philosophical. He applies these truths to himself personally. He states again and again, as we read, that God, You know me. You know my thoughts. You know my words. You know my situations. You know my frustrations. God searched him, not overlooked, not ignored, not misplaced. What we do, where we go, what we face and what we say, what we have need of, God knows it all. In fact, you know, in the Gospels, back in Matthew 6, Jesus taught us not to worry. He taught us not to allow the pressures of life to suffocate us or to wear us down or to turn us ugly like a world that doesn't know God. He says, you don't need to act like that because you have a Father, a Heavenly Father. Seek Him first and all those things will be given to you. He says, you have a Father. Jesus stresses, listen, you have a Heavenly Father that knows. He knows what you have need of. He knows what you're made of. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you desire. What a glorious thought. What a comforting truth. My Father knows, my Father cares, and my Father provides. Can you say amen to that? Great is His faithfulness. Somebody, I want you to know your Father will provide. Your Father will provide. Yes, He will. You might have come in with a burden. You might have come in with something that's getting you anxious and getting you fearful. I've got good news for you. You have a Heavenly Father that loves you. He knows the end from the beginning. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll carry that burden if you'll give it to Him. He'll help you if you come to Him. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And He's your Heavenly Father. Somebody say amen. Psalm 139, a short course in theology. 13 personal pronouns in the first 6 verses. I'm not an English major. You can tell that by listening to me. Certainly tell it if you see how I write. But anyhow, 13 personal pronouns. God knows everything. Specifically, He knows you. Isn't that good to know? He knows what you're facing. He knows what caused you to weep last night. Oh, what a good God. What a faithful God. God knows you personally. God loves you intimately. Individually. There are no crowds with Him, only individuals. A little outline for this psalm. God knows us intimately. God is with us continually. And God made us wonderfully. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? What a good God. You know, at times we can feel lonely. Sometimes people feel lonely, like nobody knows and no one cares. But you know what? God knows everything. Specifically, He knows you. That's what we're stressing. He knows you affectionately, with a fondness, personally, thoroughly, affectionately. Listen, everybody is somebody to Jesus. I'll say that again. Everybody is somebody to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, whenever I begin to meditate and think about the goodness of God and the love of God and so forth and all these various attributes of God, I always go back in my mind to Romans 5 and 8, where the Bible says that, but God
demonstrates or shows, proves his love towards us, and that when we were sinners, Christ died for us. And when I think about that, the thing just comes, it's, oh Lord, if you loved me so much when I was a sinner, how much more now that I'm a son? It's good to meditate on the greatness of our God and these attributes that are not just out there for the world, they're there for you personally. May we take the great truths of God from impressive facts, just theological thoughts, and let's make them personal comforts, strengths, and joys. For it is true, he knows the weight of Jupiter. It is true, he knows every atom that is in this sanctuary. He knows every name of every star and every galaxy. Yet more than that, he knows you and he knows me in an affectionate way, in a loving way, in a caring way, in a positive way. How did Jeremiah say it? Jeremiah 1:5. What a beautiful thought. God said, Jeremiah, listen, before you were in your mother's womb. Isn't that wonderful? Before daddy ever winked. I mean, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And the knowing of God is always a knowing of choosing and affection and desire. It's not an eeny, meeny, miny. No. It's one of, I loved you. I know you with affection. I know you with concern. I know you with compassion. I know you with care. I love this. Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's, I knew you. And before you were even born, I set you apart. What a God. What a God, you were born with a purpose. You were born with a reason. You were born loved of God. You were born chosen of God. What a God we serve. So remember, whenever you and I take an attribute of God for granted, we miss out. Our understanding lacks. Our faith weakens. Because we act and we think differently depending on what we know, what we're aware of, and what we're sure of. We act differently according to the information that we have. Knowing affects behavior. Knowing affects emotion. It's like the story of that very wealthy grandfather that had grown hard of hearing. I won't make any jokes, but he made hard of hearing. He went to his doctor one time, and his doctor had found a state-of-the-art invisible, what are those things you ever got in the ear? Hearing aid, there you go, we got some out here. Hey, the hearing aid. I mean, state of the art, because he was rich, he could afford it. It wasn't out for everyone yet. And he went home, and he found out that thing worked. He was hearing better than he had in years. In fact, there were certain levels that he could tweak it. He was hearing conversations in the other room. So 2 weeks later, he goes for his follow-up appointment, and the doctor's excited to hear how it worked. How did it work, sir? He says, oh, doc, I haven't heard like this in years. This is so wonderful. And the doctor, follow-up question, he says, well, was your family excited? It must be nice. Now you can have a normal conversation. He goes, well, doc, to tell you the truth, I haven't told them yet. He goes, I just sit around listening all day long. In fact, I changed my will twice. Hallelujah. You act different according to what you know. Isn't that right? The more knowledge, it changes the way you act and it changes the way you feel. So we want to think you act differently because of what you know. Let's know God. Everybody, let's know God. How about that? Didn't Paul say, oh, that I might know him, that I might know this great God. Jesus said that they might know me. Oh, friend, that we'll know him better, that we can walk with him stronger. Glory be to God forever. God's omniscience, number one. It's intuitive. That means no one had to teach him. You know, it's a crazy world we live in. This generation seems to make up words all the time. My wife or my kids will notice I didn't know what they meant. I thought at one time I was fairly intelligent. I guess not. And they'll have to explain to me what a new word meant. And I said, well, why didn't they just say whatever like they have for the last 300 years? You know, you got to change these words. I feel like I got to get a new dictionary every year. Keep up. But you know what? God has got to get a new dictionary. His knowledge is intuitive. No one had to teach him. All knowledge, past, present, and future, he's got it. All that is known, has been known, could be known, or has been forgotten. God knows intuitively, eternally, No one had to teach him. He don't evolve. God is. Your Father knows, and no one had to teach him. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. Amen. Father knows. Father knows. God's omniscient. It's intuitive. It's comprehensive. No detail is overlooked. He's not just good at gym and bad at science. He's not. No, no, no. God is comprehensive. He never once had to say, man, I didn't see that coming. Comprehensive. Hebrews 4 and 13. Hebrews 4 and 13. The Bible says nothing. Absolutely nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. But everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give an account. When everything is laid bare, it's the picture of when you take an apple or a piece of fruit and you cut it down the middle and it just opens like that. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of God. Oh, my, my. Before the one we must give an account to. You see, our knowledge is imperfect and it's limited. His is perfect and complete. No detail is overlooked and nothing can be hidden from him. Now, with this in mind, again, remember I prefaced. I said, if you're a child, get happy. Amen? If you're a backslider, you're in a heap of trouble. If you're a rebel, that's what you and God, you know, he hears what you're thinking right now. So, I mean, you can't outrun him. You can't outbox him. But I'm trying to talk to some Christians. We got any real Christians here this morning? Anybody walking with God this morning? Anybody at all? Go ahead. Go ahead. Did I come to the right place? Did I go to the miss the turn? All right. Now, if you're a child of God, understanding more and more of this great God that we serve ought to excite your faith, energize your faith. It'll make your understanding clearer and fuller. It ought to get you happier. Because our God knows everything comprehensively. With this in mind, child of God, he knows the answer, so let's seek him. Let's seek him. He's made a way so you can find him. If you have a need, there is an answer. His name is Jesus. Go to him. Draw near to that throne of grace. Pour out your heart. He'll give wisdom to those that ask in faith. If you have a need, if you have a need, he knows the answer, so seek him. Don't seek this way. Seek the Lord. He knows the way, so follow him. Make sure you choose the right path. He knows the way. Jesus is the way. Follow his path. Let him lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows the way. Follow him. He knows the deadline, so trust him. He's not only an all-knowing God, he's an all-powerful God. He's a God that is mighty to save. He's a God that's able to meet your need. He's God that's able to bring you through that storm. He's a God that's able to restore your brokenness. He's able to heal your weariness. He's a wonderful God. He knows the deadline, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on human understanding or frailties, but in all your ways acknowledge him and seek him and honor him, and he'll direct your path and he'll make a way where there seems to be no way, and he will bring his people through. Can you say amen? Amen. He knows, he knows, he knows everything. He knows your struggle, so bring it to him. Don't be too proud to bring your pain to God. Don't be too proud to not bring your need to the Lord, to not bring your burden to the one that cares like no one else cares. You know what? He knows not only the answer and the way and the deadline. Not only does he know our struggles, he knows our slip-ups. Don't look so pious out there. We all slip up, don't we? If we didn't, the Bible wouldn't address it. He knows the slip-ups. Confess them to him. Choose cleansing. Not, I like to be clean. You like to be clean? I like to be clean. How do you stay clean? You confess that sin. You turn, you bring it to Jesus. You bring it to Jesus. He knows all about it. So why try to justify it? Why try to cover it? Why try to make believe it didn't happen? He knows. Bring it to him. Confess it to him. Let him cleanse you and forgive you and get you back in the race. Oh my. God's comprehensive knowledge, it has a moral element to it. Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. He knows every thought and every motive, every attitude. No one, listen, friend, no one's going to get away with anything. Amen? Either it's going to get forgiven or it's going to get judged. But no one's going to get away with anything, so don't stay awake at that. Amen? Let God deal with it. God will deal with it. God's comprehensive knowledge not only has a moral element, has a scientific element. From the hairs or lack thereof on our heads to the stars in the sky, He knows it all. You know, Jesus said that aren't two sparrows sold for just a penny? And yet not one of them can even fall to the ground without the knowledge and the will of the Father. One writer said, God's the only one that attends a sparrow's funeral. Psalm 50, most of you are familiar with that, where it says, God knows every animal in the field and every bird in the air. Friend, that is comprehensive and complete knowledge. God's comprehensive knowledge, not only as a moral element, scientific element, it includes what could have been, what might have been. You know what? God knows the what ifs. So when you think about this, you just step back and say, wow, God, you're awesome. When you start to think about this, it just blows our little puny brains away, and we just, wow. That's why the Bible has a word called wonder. He's wonderful. He's so great, it just moves us to wonder, into praise, into awesome. Oh, my. Our God is an awesome God. God not only knows everything that is actual, He knows everything that is possible. God knows what is, what could have been, what might be. Our choices matter to God, don't they? You better believe they do. You know, for example, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, Jesus spoke to two cities. And He said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethesda. He says, if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in two other cities, Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth. Jesus said, you know, if they would have had the opportunity and the light that you had, they would have responded totally different. You see, Jesus knew what would happen if. He's awesome, is He not? You know, in a court of law, you know, you're watching your Perry Mason, your Matlock. In a court of law, the attorney would have said, hang on, calls for speculation. You don't know that. You don't know what so-and-so was thinking. You don't know what they would have said. But you know what? God does know, doesn't He? I mean, God knows the potential as well as the actual events and the outcomes of history. God knows. He's an awesome God, folks. He's a wonderful God. That's why take your burdens to this God. Amen? Ask this God for wisdom. I mean, why go to the false? Why go to the phony? Why go to the field? Man, they don't got their act together. Why are you looking to them for help? Come to the Lord. Isn't that right? Why are you following that joker? He don't got his act together. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah. God knows. Many things we'll never know. And if I could pause here and throw this in, it's wise and healthy not to let those things become a stumbling block. One of our noted missionaries with the Lord now, Charles Greenaway, used to say, don't backslide over the mysteries. Don't backslide over the mysteries. A lot of mysteries in this life, isn't there? A lot of things we can't understand. And if we spend too much time trying to figure them out, we give place to that devil just to mess with our faith and discourage us. Just give them to God and march on and embrace the things you know that you know that you know. God is good, God is loving, and God is with me, and God's going to finish the work He started in me. Amen? Keep it plain. God knows. Many things we'll never know, but God knows everything. He knows. He knows what has happened, what will happen, what might have happened, and what could have happened. Again, verse 6, David just steps back after a while, and he just worships God. He just shakes his head, and he says, man, this is too much. Lord, you're blowing me away. This is too lofty. This is too much. If you meditate, see, we think about garbage things too much. We waste our brain power and we think about garbage things, things that are not fruitful. Meditate on that which is pure and holy, righteous. Come on, say amen to that. And not enough time meditating on this great God that we serve, on this loving God that sent His Son to die for us, on the God that woke us up when we were headed in the wrong direction, on the God that forgave us and healed our wounded hearts. My goodness, He's a great God. Spend time worshiping and wondering and meditating on the goodness of the Lord. David just steps back in verse 6, says, too wonderful, too lofty, too high. You're blowing me away, Lord. Just got to step back sometimes and look up and give him praise. So, oh, Lord, you are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome. Sometimes the best thing a human being can do is just stop and worship the Lord. Instead of being overwhelmed and bittered or distraught, just step back and look up and worship the one that does know, the one who is in control, the one that cares for you and loves you, the one that holds you in the palm of his hand, the one that orders your steps, the one you get to call Father if you're a child of God. How long has it been since you just worship God like that? Since you just bow down and say, oh God, you are a great God. You're an awesome God. You're a holy God. You're a wonderful God. I'm going to praise you. You've been so good. You've been so kind. Oh God, the goodness of God. The knowledge of God is intuitive. No one had to teach him. God knows everything. No one had to teach him. Number two, it's comprehensive. Comprehensive. That should help your faith. Amen. Years ago, I remember one brother years ago, not in this church, the other church, man, one of our lay people, fine man came in, and he has terrible heart trouble. And he said, my cardiologist don't know what to do. They said, you're stuck with it. I had young both. I said, I don't accept that. You mean to tell me human little brains here can put a man on the moon? We can't find someone to operate on your heart? Oh, no. I don't accept it. Amen? The God I serve is too great. I don't have to accept that garbage, right? Amen? I serve a great God. I serve a mighty God. He knows everything. Amen? He can make a donkey talk. He can find a man to operate on your heart. Amen. One more than a week later, pastor got a call. My cardiologist says, there's a brand new procedure, da, 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 da. I'm going out to Cleveland Clinic. They're going to do it. Did it. He's still living. That's 20 years ago. He's in his mid-90s now. That heart's still going. My God, I'm trying to say God knows everything. And that's your heavenly Father. Seek him. Trust him. Look to him. Amen. Comprehensive. God's omniscience. And here it is. He's great. He's awesome. Folks, he knows if Pluto's a planet or not. He knows everything. I'm just telling you. That's another new thing I found out. I didn't know it wasn't a planet. Did you know that? I always thought it was a planet or a dog or Mickey Mouse. But I'm telling you, God is awesome. This is our God. We don't serve the phony gods. We don't serve idols. We're not serving. We serve the one and true God. Hallelujah. Woo. My goodness. Intuitive, comprehensive, but above all, God's omniscience is personal. We call him Father. Personal, very personal. The Bible says the Lord knows those that are his. Psalm 139 really brings this to us in a very clear way. God knows us. There are no grandkids or stepkids in God. There's just sons and daughters. Amen? I mean, verse 3. I mean, from the smallest detail to our heaviest burden, you are familiar with all my ways. Amen? All my ways. My dreams and my desires. My fears and my frailties. My questions and my confusions, my past mistakes, my past history, my present struggles, my present battle. You know them all. That's why he's such a wonderful counselor. That's why he is the ultimate burden bearer. That's why he is the great physician. This great God that you serve, he knows you personally, loves you intimately. He knows and hears our prayers. He feels and understands our pains. He walks with us and enters into our battles. What a God, what a God, what a God. God with us. Emmanuel. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6, our Father knows the things we need before we even ask. Isn't that something? With a caring concern, he knows. Now, see, I don't pray to inform God. Right? Amen. If I had to inform him, we'd be in a heap of hurt. Amen. But I pray because God instructs me to pray. And it's to my benefit to pray and obey him. You know, that's why, friend, look, it's great just sometimes just sit down with the Lord. Have that song go, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Come on, get that prayer wheel turning, my Lord. And it's great sometimes just to say, he cares. And he knows. Let's face it, some people don't care. And most people don't know. But God, he can talk with them. In that truck, you can have a heart to heart. When you're on that lunch break and it's just you, and that, you can have a heart to heart. It's good just to sit down, Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. Lord, you know all about me. You know all about this situation. I need some help. It's so wise. It's so biblical. It's a privilege of being a son. Not everyone can do it like we can do it. Not all of you could approach my dad the way I can approach my natural dad. Relationship makes all the difference, does it not? But when you're a son of the living God, Lord, I'm just going to bring you my cares. I want to talk to you about my needs, and I'm going to lay them before you. That's something good to practice daily, folks. Take your burdens to the Lord. Lay them at his feet. Tell him, let him know what you're facing. Let him comfort your soul. Let him direct your path. Let him give wise counsel to your mind. Oh, my. He knows. He hears our prayers, and he knows our pains. The Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched the blessing of knowing an all-knowing God. He understands me. He's sympathetic towards me. And he's able and willing to help. You know, I see Sister Summerall here. I remember years ago, Brother Carl Porter, he's with the Lord now. And he told me the story. He said, you know, for a season, Brother Summerall and Brother Porter, Brother Summerall is the one that made this beautiful pulpit. And we bought it online. It was just an ugly, punk of white, messed up paint. And it was, I don't know what they had before, but I said, I like a pulpit you can hit. I want something. Amen. I want my mind's for preaching. I'm not having tea parties on my pulpit. We come. And Brother Summerall did this. Made it beautiful, man. I'm telling you, he did this. And Brother Porter told me, he says, you know, Pastor, one time Leon and I had a welding shop for a season. They had a welding shop. And he said, we had a sign on the wall. And the sign says, we can fix anything here but a broken heart. But we can point you to the one that can. My God, Jesus still heals broken hearts. It's this great God that knows everything, all these facts and figures. He knows the weight of the universe, but he knows your pain, and he knows your situation, and he knows what you've gone through in life. He knows your brokenness. People die of a broken heart every day. Mothers die of a broken heart every day. People fall apart because of broken hearts. And sometimes our hearts are broken because of things we've done. Well, there's forgiveness. Sometimes they're broken what others have done. There's healing. He's a healer. In fact, let me say this much. God's word teaches me that he knows and cares, that he's touched with what touches me, and that he's willing to minister to me. In fact, he's willing to minister to our insides. How about that? I mean, if he can heal an outside thing, can't he heal an inside thing? He can take away the sting of that rejection. He can numb the pain of that abuse. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth, the prophet Isaiah spoke about the ministry of Jesus. Isaiah 61. And he said, among other things, he said, in the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of the Spirit will be upon Jesus to heal broken hearts. And I want to tell you, the ministry of the Lord Jesus hasn't changed. He's still willing, he's still caring, and he's still able. Bring your hurt to Jesus. Somebody, bring your hurt to Jesus. Don't just try to drown it out. Don't just try to deny it and let it kill you. Bring your hurt to Jesus. He loves you, he cares for you, and he's able to heal broken hearts today. Can you say amen? God that knows us, cares about us. He hears our prayers. He understands and knows our pains, and he enters in. He doesn't just stand back and watch. He's not an observer. God with us. God for us. He enters into our battles. He fights with us. He gives us grace to endure. He gives us power to overcome. He gives us wisdom to navigate. That's the God we serve. This gives us confidence as we walk this walk of faith. You know, most of you are familiar with the story of Job. Amen? You know, Job went through, how can we say, a seamless, endless dark night, it seemed like, right? I mean, it seemed like every morning there was a new ache, there was a new pain, there was a new bad report. Others judged him. Others accused him. But Job felt great comfort in God while he was going through some of the hardest days he's ever had. And he wrote these beautiful words, Job 23 and verse 10. And he says of God, he says, but he knows the way that I take. Others are rejecting me. Others are falsely accusing me. I don't know why I'm going through this. I'm trying to serve God. I don't know why life is taking me down this path. But he knows the way. He hasn't lost sight of me. He hasn't forgotten me. I know the devil lies to some and say, God doesn't care about you and God has forgotten you. The devil is a liar. God loves you. God knows you. God wants you. I know the devil lies. He says, you're by yourself and no one cares. The devil is a liar. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows you. And Jesus calls you. Come and receive grace. Come and let him touch your heart. Come and let him comfort your soul. God is a good God, and this God loves you and knows you, and he desires you. Job said, he knows the way that I take. That's good to know, isn't it? Some things, some areas you walk in life, no one can walk with you but Jesus. I mean, they close that door in the last operating table. The wife can't come. Mama can't. No one can come. There are certain places you got to walk all by yourself, but the Lord. Oh, but the Lord. Job said, but he knows the way I take. I don't know why I'm taking this route, but he knows. And when he has tested me, when he allows this thing to run its course, and I tell you, it'll run its course, this thing shall pass, that thing shall pass, it's not going to go on forever, weeping may endure for the night, joy is coming in the morning, somebody, your time has come, you've waited, now it's time to receive, your time of receiving has come, your time of blessing has come, God says, you've waited long enough, you have waited on me, you have trusted in me, but now it's time to receive from me. Now it's time for the answer to bloom and bless your life. God, he says, hey, you know the way I take, and when he's tested me, I will come forth as gold. Oh, when I come out of this, I'm coming out better than when I went in. Amen. You and I make that choice. We go through trials. We don't want to go through trials. Only an idiot wants to go through trials. But it's part of this life. It's part of the human condition, is it not? But we can make up our minds. If I'm going to go through it, I'm going to do my very best to go through it in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that helps me to grow out of it. God's a good God. I'm going through this thing, trusting the Lord, and the God that began his good work in me, he shall complete it. He's holding me in the hollow of his hand. The storms can hit, the devil can lie, but the God I serve will never let me go. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. And he's going to win, he's going to win, he's going to win. And he's going to bring you through. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo. I get blessed talking about God. This is our God, folks. You ought to get happy. This is your God. Amen. This is your Heavenly Father. Woo! This is the one. You got your name written in glory. He wrote it there. Come on. This is wonderful. You get to talk to this God. You look out your back porch on a clear night and you see those zillions of stars. You say, my Father knows each one by name. My Father knows them. Amen. Before he spoke them, he knew them. And so I'm going to take my problems, and I'm going to the one that knows. Amen? I'm going to take my burdens. I'm taking the one that can carry them. Isn't that right? I'm taking my heartache, because this life will break your heart. Isn't that right? It'll break your heart. We do dumb things. I've done enough dumb things. But then we just think, see, it happened to us because we're part of a fallen world. It works both ways if we're honest. Come on, right? But he heals our hearts. I always tell men, when I used to do more men's ministry, different places, and I'd say, man, watch your weariness and watch your woundedness. When we get tired, we do things we shouldn't have done. Our resistance goes down. We say what we shouldn't say. Watch your weariness. Learn how to drink from that right river. In the right river. There's a right river and a wrong river. Learn how to draw near and let Jesus just refresh you and fill you. This life will exhaust you. It's a fight of faith. Isn't that right? The Bible says it's a fight of faith. So you exhaust yourself when you fight. So you got to go where you can get refreshed. Get some of that Holy Ghost Gatorade. I mean, you got to drink from that river. Drink from that river. Watch your, and, but watch, listen, watch your woundedness. Man. A hurting man's a dangerous man. Because when you're hurting, your fight's nasty. I mean, when you got when self-preservation kicks in, come on. But when you get hurt, man, you'll say it, you'll fight. Watch your woundedness. Learn to take the hurts that life will give you, and bring them to Jesus. He's a great physician. To try to think we're not going to be hurt is not realistic, not in a fallen world. The Bible says of Jesus, he knew what was in man. He knew a man was messed up. He knew a man was a fallen creature, rebelling from God. That causes the ripple effects of pain and sorrow. How many things do we deal with because of someone else's foolishness? That's part of living in a fallen world. We get hurt. I can't avoid being hurt. It's like we talk at the funerals. I can't avoid death, but I can prepare for it. I can't avoid being hurt all the time. But when I get hurt, there's something I can do about it. I can bring it to my physician. I can bring it to my healer. I can tell Jesus that hurt. Sometimes you just got to come say, Lord, at this point in the game, maybe I ought to be tougher than this, but I just got to be honest. That hurt me. That got through the armor. And I don't want to let that poison me and bitter me. I've seen some people, they were hurt 20 years, and they say they got over it, but anyone get around them, they didn't get over it. It embittered them. It took something away from them. They lost something. So I can't deny the fact I'm going to get hurt. But I have to remember what a privilege I have as a son of God. What a privilege you have as sons and daughters of God. That there is a place where you can go. And you can tell him all about it. He knows, he cares, and he's able to help. He knows, he cares, and he's able to help. And you say, Lord, this is where it hurts. This is where I feel I'm being poisoned. This is where the anger. Touch me. Mend me. And the Lord Jesus is still a healer of broken and wounded hearts. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 139, the God who knows us. The God who knows us. What a thought. He knows you. He loves you. And he calls and invites you. To close our service, can we spend just a minute and just worship this great God? Can we just give him love and praise to think that that's your Heavenly Father, the one you can talk to tonight. He knows everything. Amen? The one that you can bring your burden to tonight. He's able to do anything. Amen? He's your God. So sometimes when we think about that, it gets so awesome, we just need to pause for a little while and just sing a song of praise to him. And if you've come here this morning and you're carrying a burden, maybe there's a care that you've been carrying. Maybe there's something that's just been weighing you down. Well, come and bring it to the Lord. Cast it at his feet. Let the Lord touch your heart. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the brothers and sisters gather around and just pray. And we believe the comforting power of the Spirit can just rest on you, and the inner grace of God can do something in your heart. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray? We're going to pray, and then we're going to praise. And if you've come in and you need to make a fresh commitment to God, or you have a burden you're carrying and you just want to lay it at Jesus' feet and ask the Lord just to comfort you and strengthen you, I want you to do that. We pray, Father, we thank you that we can know you. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that we can walk with you. We thank you that you're a good God. You know us and you love us. You're willing to help us. You're willing to heal us. You're willing to use us in this hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, receive our praise right now as we honor you in song. Heavenly Father, draw near to those that will draw near to you at this altar. Speak to them. Touch them in a sovereign way. Minister your grace to their hearts. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.